This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about Stouffer's.
Yes. Stouffer's, which got into a lot more stuff than I thought they did.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. And they are not a sponsor, just a company of interest.
Yeah. That sounds like we're like secret agents or something.
Oh, yeah. Secret podcast agents. Everywhere that you find your podcasts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're waiting. Did you have, I know we love these non-sponsored company episodes. Did you have any reason this was on your mind?
I think I had just been to the grocery store and, you know, I was looking for my like specific things that I go to, and I just like saw the wall of Stouffer's and I was like, what's up with that? So, yeah.
Look, if we had a separate podcast, I would do my whole drama about my refrigerator
that
consumed my life. But I currently have a working refrigerator.
Yeah,
it's making weird noises.
Oh, no. Though. Oh, Annie.
It's like blooping. Like
blooping?
It's like bloop, bloop. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I'm trying to be positive. Because I want this to be over.
Is it still chilling your foods to an appropriate temperature?
This it is doing.
Okay.
This it is doing.
Well, that's great.
Well, I mean, that is ideally what would happen. but I did kind of go, I won't say overboard, because my landlord, if he listens to this, would use it against me.
He would.
But I haven't had a freezer in over 6 months. Mm-hmm. So I got a bunch of foods that I haven't had in a long time.
Aww,
Especially like nostalgic foods, which I really had no reason to do other than, it's not like if my freezer had been working, I would have gotten those. They were very nostalgic foods, but I did it.
Look, you
and
had
some of them were Stouffer's.
You had been through a stressful situation, and you know, food can comfort us in our times of need.
It can.
So, yeah, I get that. I will say that while I was writing this outline, I usually have some kind of frozen lasagna on hand. Not usually Stouffer's, to be honest, but yeah, and I did not, and I was mad.
Like, you open the freezer, fury dawns on your face.
I knew I hadn't gotten any, and so I was just like, Lauren, what have you done to yourself?
Pass, Lauren, ruining things again.
It's okay. I think I'm going to go today or tomorrow. We can rectify the situation.
Yes, this is easily rectified. Yes. Because Stouffer's is everywhere.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. So, like, most of my clearest associations with Stouffer's has to do with college, actually.
Because
the way that my dining plan worked, because I got the cheapest dining plan, was essentially you had, like, credit to use at their stores on campus. Mm-hmm. And what their stores on campus had was a lot of Stouffer's. And I actually didn't realize that until I was doing this research. Like, I don't think I remembered the brand. I just knew, like, when I was reading it, I was like, oh, yeah, that one. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, that one. Oh. Uh-huh. So there was a lot of lean cuisine going on.
Sure.
A lot of fettuccine, a lot of mac and cheese, Salisbury steak, I remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was like my college experience. At least for like 2 years, I was just eating whatever frozen food was at
was available.
The West Side Grocery.
Huh. Yeah, I don't Stouffer's isn't a brand that I've really purchased a lot in my life. I don't know. I'm going to have to go check what they have and maybe try some things out. See how it goes.
Oh. Get a Stouffer spread. I really think that's a good idea. Another thing to add to our list. We're going to have to make this multiple nights because it's getting out of hand.
No, we have like 9 movies now. And we just added Big Trouble in Little China to the list. So
we did.
We're going to have to pace ourselves.
Oh,
it's okay. It's
terrible.
Okay.
I have to hang out with Lauren.
Oh, more. Man. Hate it when that happens.
Wow. Okay. I think that brings us to our question.
I think it does.
Stouffer's. What is it?
Well, Stouffer's is a brand that currently deals in frozen prepared foods. Generally, their products are meant to be like inexpensive, quick versions of home-style, mid-century-ish American dishes, like hearty and comforting and nostalgic and unchallenging, with an emphasis on starches and meats and cheese sauces and gravies, all easily heated in a microwave or a standard oven if you're fancy. They're pretty ubiquitous in grocery stores in the United States. They sell their entrees and sides to consumers in both single and family-sized packages, like multi-serving packages, and also to the service industry in like service quantities as well. They're mostly like even easier versions of dishes that were designed to be easy. They're like if you had a time machine that went specifically to a home oven in the 1950s, but everything that came through the time machine had like slight textural issues. They're like the Encino Man of dinner. Comes to you frozen, uncomplicated, if a little bit salty. Product may be hot.
Okay. I haven't seen Encino Man either. Is Keanu Reeves in it?
I don't believe so. That's Brendan Fraser in the titular Encino Man role. Basically, oh gosh, who else is in it? Is it like Pauly Shore and...
This is gonna Rob be what the Schneider holiday specials like. I promise.
Oh, that movie is that movie has a 15% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is one of the lowest scores I think I've ever seen in my life.
But you've seen it. You've witnessed it.
Oh goodness, yes. Of course. I'm from the 90s. What do you want?
All right. Okay.
Apologies to everyone who is not from the 90s. That's a really deep cut. I'm very proud of it, though.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, and also cheers to Brendan Fraser. So happy to everything that's happening to him right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, The Mummy, 1999.
Oh, one of the
so good.
Best movies. Heck. okay. All right. So... Fun thing about Stouffer's that I don't think I knew until we did this reading. And I should mention at the top, they previously had a really decently sized restaurant and hotel empire.
Yep. Did not know that.
That's a whole thing. So we're going to get to that in the history because, right now it's just frozen prepared foods. And I feel like the best way to explain this brand, other than my brilliant metaphor, is to just like list out their product lineup with the very specific understanding that everything is meant to be like less than $4 a serving. Okay. Meaning that like beyond the science of creating these frozen one-step reheatable products, there's also the science of like controlling cost via large-scale processing. Okay, so you've got your lasagnas with meat sauce, meat lovers, cheese lovers, Italiano, which means it has ricotta in it, chicken and cream sauce, and veggies and cream sauce. All right. You've got other pastas, spaghetti and meatballs, spaghetti and meat sauce, ravioli and meat sauce, fettuccine alfredo, shrimp alfredo, chicken alfredo, broccoli cheddar bake, chicken broccoli bake, baked ziti, chicken parm, mac and cheese, sometimes including like different toppings or seasonings, Swedish meatballs with noodles, tuna noodle casserole, escalloped chicken and noodles, and turkey tetrazzini. Which is one of Annie's like family classic Christmas things.
That's how we use up the extra turkey.
They've got rice dishes, including chicken a la king, chicken fajita, which has like beans and bell peppers and Mexican seasoning. Not sure what any of that means. Southwestern cheesy rice and beans, chicken fried rice, vegetable fried rice, beef and broccoli, and grandma's chicken and vegetable rice bake, the winner of our 1999 recipe contest from Jenny's Grandma to Your Table.
I mean, congrats, Jenny.
That's like a cheddar cheese sauce with some like chicken and rice and vegetables anyway. They've got other dishes like meatloaf and gravy, roast turkey breast with gravy, Salisbury steak, barbecue burger with bacon in it, chicken enchiladas, crusted chicken, fried chicken, baked chicken, breaded fish fillet, chicken pot pie, stuffed bell peppers, and creamed chipped beef on toast.
What?
Okay. Very, very specific dish. Sides like a cheddar potato bake, cheddar bacon potatoes, mashed potatoes, scalloped potatoes, stuffing, harvest apples, and spinach souffle. Their French bread pizza line. Oh, goodness. Various toppings, including like pepperoni and sausage and onions and bell peppers and various combinations. They have a couple more modern nods, including like bowls that have a base of like mashed potato or rice or mac and cheese and then are topped with like some vegetable and some kind of protein. And also something called bites, which are these like crispy breaded bite-sized snacks. That are filled with things like spicy mac and cheese or like loaded baked potato style ingredients. I mean, we do love a saver list here, but like that did feel a little bit on the exhaustive end, but I actually left some stuff off and like really some of those words are just not words that like really come up in this our 21st century. So I just really wanted to say them.
It's true.
Yeah. They've also exported to Canada for some time, including a few dishes that you can't get in the States, at least not now, like veal parmigiana and beef stroganoff. And like I mentioned above, there really is a deep science to creating like inexpensive, palatable dishes that depend on like typically expensive products like cheese or meats. So you might like beef up your beef with fillers. Take that beef and broccoli. Okay. In it, the beef ingredient is officially listed as cooked beef steak, water and binder product, caramel color added. And it consists of beef, water, modified cornstarch, salt, beef broth, sodium phosphate, dextrose, caramel color, and natural flavor. And that's an extreme example. Like it really varies product to product. I mean, some of it is just like, it's chicken breast, But yeah, then you've got these other allowances like that. Their service industry line has a lot of the same dishes, though they tend to be a little bit higher quality with fewer fillers. Plus, they have like sauces and stock and a few things that you can't get anymore or ever as a consumer, like stuffed cabbage, beef stew, green bean casserole, chicken and dumplings, and spinach artichoke dip. They also do customized products for restaurant chains, made possible with like basically plug-and-play industrial manufacturing equipment that lets them change or add ingredients on the already existing line by just like popping in a little extra piece.
Oh, interesting.
So cool. Yeah. Yeah, their research center sounds wild. I was reading about one of their tasting panel rooms that like has a setting where the lights go yellow during taste tests so that you can't see the colors in the food.
Oh, whoa. Wow.
Right?
Listeners, if anybody has worked in this situation.
Oh, my goodness. Right? Huh.
Wow.
Need to, like, filing that away for another date and time, like, totally need to do more reading into, like, consumer marketing.
Yes.
But, testing kind of situations. Mm-hmm. Anyway, corporate marketing says that the brand stands on the pillars of innovation, flexibility, and determination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sure, sure, sure. I did forget about the spinach souffle. I talked about that in the spinach episode, I think. But that was a big staple in my family. I forgot. And you know, that's the thing, is like a lot of people have so much nostalgia for this.
Right.
When you had it as kids. But I suppose that brings us to the nutrition.
Don't eat brands. Don't do that. If you're talking about the nutritional value of the food, it really depends. You know, some of these are calorically dense with like more of their composition coming from saturated fats than you would ideally want for like a casual everyday meal. But due to all of that science and like those fillers, a lot of them are pretty calorically reasonable. They tend to be heavy on the carbs and the sodium. I mean, they'll fill you up and help keep you going. Tend to be a little bit light on vegetables, like eat a vegetable, drink some water.
Well, that's another thing we've talked about, is kind of like when you crave the chicken nugget for that texture.
Right.
Specifically.
Yeah, you're not looking for chicken. You're looking for a nugget, and there's a difference.
There is. And we are not the only ones that feel that way. It's a very big market. So we do have some numbers for you.
We do. Okay, the frozen meals segment in the United States is worth some $12.2 billion a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And according to a Statista report from early 2021, Stouffer's ranked first place in terms of sales of single-serve frozen meals.
And they've maintained that. In 2022, they made $229 million in sales of single-serving dinners alone. They also led the multi-serving segment that year with another $191 million in sales.
Whew. I can't wait to get to the history, because it's so wild to see like where they started.
Yeah.
This.
And how they developed into this. Right.
Yes. And which this involves a clothing line. Stouffer's has a clothing line. I recently have become very, very interested in all of the products these companies offer. And Stouffer's, it's not available now, but they had like a jumpsuit.
Like a tracksuit.
It was macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, it was like a giant print of mac and cheese on this jumpsuit. And heck.
Stunning. Eye-catching.
Eye-catching for sure. A statement, if you will.
Very much.
All of those promotional things that people come up with for these brands is really a lot.
It is. I mean, I think that's actually very accurate. It's a lot, and that's what they're going for.
It is. Yeah. one last number for you. A marketing manager for Nestle Professional by the name of Todd Mueller? I'm not sure. He told Cleveland.com last year that they're just like simmering on any number of ideas for mac and cheese. Quote, "I've been saying this now for 15 years, but America has not reached its satiety level on mac and cheese.
Truth.
Sounds like a threat. Delicious, yeah. Delicious threat.
A delicious threat that I am like, yes.
Fully into.
Give me all the mac and cheese and I'll tell you if I'm satiated. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. You know, that's one of the interesting things about this brand is they really leaned into some of our just like favorite flavor combinations, taste in this country. And that's sort of what catapulted them
right
to where they are, which we do have quite a history for you.
We do. But first, we've got a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, and I guess we should have mentioned at the top, you can see our frozen food episode.
Sure.
I feel like we talk about, it was just such a big innovation when people could freeze things, when people had access to refrigeration. So I feel like we've talked about it a lot. But that's the episode that is immediately coming to mind.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But okay. Stouffer's originated in Ohio, downtown Cleveland to be exact, in 1922, and it stemmed out of a small dairy stand that was formed by Abraham Stouffer, and that was born out of the creamery he and his father started in the 1900s.
Yeah, like late 1800s, early 1900s. But yeah, they had grown to be a major dairy manufacturer and wholesaler in the region by 1920.
Right. So in 1922, they decided to expand their business with this stand in downtown Cleveland. Abraham's wife, Lena, eventually came to help too. Depending on the version you read, she was there from the very beginning of the stand. Others say she came in later. Mm-hmm. At the time, Cleveland was booming, and the stand had a couple of things going for it that really set it apart, like fresh buttermilk. Free crackers.
Right.
I'm in. Mm-hmm. Their menu was small, but they had this like mind to expand once again. So they eventually decided to become more of a coffee shop situation. Mm-hmm. To that end, they started a restaurant called Stouffer's Lunch. And after their son, Vernon, graduated college in 1924, he joined them and he was really determined to grow this business, while also maintaining the quality of their ingredients and their products. His brother Gordon joined the business in 1929. The restaurant offered 5 daily sandwich options along with fresh coffee. And this was during Prohibition. So like the whole buttermilk coffee aspect was a real draw. Mm-hmm. And their sandwich menu was a hit, enough so that they opted to offer a dinner menu as well. But perhaps even more of a hit, Lena, she had these homemade Dutch apple pies and people just loved them. Like many sources credit her and them specifically for the business's success. Their motto was, everybody is somebody at Stouffer's.
Yes. And the popularity of their restaurant was such that they were soon opening similar restaurants in cities like Pittsburgh and Detroit, and then in the 1930s, New York City. And their whole like spiel was that they offered both excellent food and excellent customer service.
Right. The vibe seemed to be very like homey and friendly. A home-cooked meal that you could take your family to and your date to. Like, they kept saying things like, you can bring your family or your date. All right. here's a sample of a menu via Mashed that they got via the Culinary Institute of America. Swedish meatballs with whipped potatoes and gravy, roast beef sirloin on toast with homemade chili sauce, club sandwiches, vegetable plates, and desserts like lemon meringue pie, and of course, the famous apple pie. So once the Second World War came to an end, Stouffer's opened a restaurant in Shaker Square, which was a shopping district outside of Cleveland.
Yeah, this was their first suburban location. And it was ritzy. Like, there were chandeliers and, like, uniformed waitresses that were called the Stouffer Girls.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And the popularity and success of this location was so much. The customers were demanding. They wanted Stouffer's at home. And so that pushed them to expand even more. So they started freezing some of their meals at this location. And customers were already doing the same thing. So they were kind of like hearing customer feedback, deciding they could make money off of this. They sold them to customers to easily cook and enjoy at home.
Yeah, they were like partially cooked and could be ready at home in like 30 minutes.
Yes, and people loved them. So much so that by the 1950s, which just a reminder is when like all of these frozen meals and people had refrigerators and there were ads on television and all that stuff, they couldn't keep up with demand. So many people wanted these products. They couldn't keep up. So to compensate, Stouffer's opened up a processing plant dedicated to making these frozen meals. That's entirely what they were going to do. Stouffer's made this a part of their business officially in 1956 as a piece of Stouffer Foods.
And at this point, they were distributing nationally.
Yes. And this was, again, a time of a lot of competition and innovation in the frozen foods market. But Stouffer's stood out because of their homemade and quality ingredients. Allegedly, Vernon would taste test every recipe and give it a thumbs up or down. And several sources claimed he was leading the charge when it came to test kitchens nailing down recipes for chains.
Yeah, he was one of the fairly early adopters of the chain restaurant philosophy of like, you work out how to do a thing and then you replicate it everywhere else, like ad infinitum. He also, later in 1966, this doesn't have to do with chain restaurants so much, but he bought controlling interest in the Cleveland Indians baseball team in order to prevent them from leaving the city.
Oh, wow. I see. In 1958, Stouffer's opened a rooftop penthouse restaurant in New York in a very sweet spot, I might say, called Top of the Sixes.
Yeah, because it was at the top of the 666 building in New York, which was called the Sixes, or is called the Sixes. And right in the early 60s, they had a whole bunch of these top of the restaurants that were just heckin' fancy, with like dinners running the equivalent of $50 a head on the low end. Options included appetizers like frog legs, soup like tomato bouillon with watercress whipped cream, and entrees like crab stuffed whole flounder or a beef bourguignon.
Oh, my.
I know, right?
Executives at Stouffer's got these frozen meals in select grocery stores in the early 60s, And the demand was steep enough that soon after they had to open a new automated plant in Solon, hope I'm not butchering that, Solon, Ohio, to deal with it.
Yeah. And that Solon campus is huge and like multi-departmental today, including a factory, that research and development headquarters, and also marketing and sales teams.
And they were opening new restaurants simultaneously, and they got into the hotel business as well, which was like the biggest surprise of this whole episode to
hotels.
Me.
Hotels. Yep. Yep.
Yep. On top of that, they were being publicly traded at this time. Litton purchased the company in 1967 and Nestle in 1973. Nestle grew both the frozen food lines and the hotel and restaurant side of the business.
Yeah. By 1975, they had 13 top of the restaurants around the country in Boston, New York, Chicago, Cleveland, Columbus, Louisville, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Denver, and Atlanta. Top of the mart. Yeah.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. And I think that over the years, they had 16 total, though most of them didn't really last very long. Like, I get the idea that by the 1970s, they were considered old-fashioned and more known as, like, a glitzy cocktail spot than, like, a quality restaurant.
That's the vibe I got as well. They sold it in 1992. And from what I read, it was more about the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. In The Wolf of Wall Street, like the book, it's described as where masters of the universe could get blitzed on martinis and exchange war stories. It's in the first scene of the film. Like, that's the restaurant that they're at. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. The New York Times reported that one reviewer in the early 80s called the Top of the Sixes the sort of place you visit in order to say you've been there once. And yes, under the Stouffer Hotel Company, which was a thing, Stouffer's purchased several hotel and resort chains, while meanwhile the Stouffer Restaurant Company generated several new ones of those.
Yes. And from the 60s to the 80s, they opened 20 motels in the Midwest. And starting in the 80s, they did move into a more, quote, upscale territory, opening hotels in touristy areas of places like Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In 1980, they opened another manufacturing center in South Carolina as demand grew even more. Less than a decade later, they opened another in Utah. The growth in demand during this time was in part due to their launch of a health conscious line in the 80s called Lean Cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, remember, this was a time when people's ideas around health were really fluctuating, but it was important to a lot of Americans.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, the main Stouffer's frozen food brand seems to have started like really leaning into the nostalgic comfort food angle at the time, including their ad campaign, Nothing Comes Closer to Home. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember those commercials, but reading those words triggered the jingle in my head.
I'm sorry, Lauren. Sorry that that happened to you.
I'm like, why is that up there? Like, why? What are we doing? Humans are weird.
It's true.
Okay. Meanwhile, they were engaging in a number of partnerships. In 1962, Stouffer's teamed up with Disney to provide food service at the Plaza Pavilion in Disneyland. It sort of straddles Main Street and Adventureland, and I think that there were ultimately two separate restaurants that Stouffer's was involved with there, like a Euro-American cafeteria buffet sort of thing that was facing Main Street, and then a Tahitian terrace with nightly dancing. There were also plans to make the then up-and-coming Enchanted Tiki Room Disney's very first reservations-only dinner spot, but they opted instead for continuous shows and no food service there. A promotional article that at the time noted that Stouffer's is, quote, one of America's foremost restaurateurs.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Meanwhile, over in Disney World, Stouffer's at one point sponsored the Liberty Tree Tavern, which I'm given to understand had themed dishes such as the Declaration Salad and the Patriots Platter, which included mac and cheese.
I guess we should see the mac and cheese episode. Yeah.
Sure.
But this was not their only partnership, nor was it their only interesting ad campaign.
Oh, yeah.
So, space fact of the episode. NASA selected Stouffer's to provide frozen meals to astronauts after Apollo 11, the mission that got the first humans to the moon in 1969. Mm-hmm. And these astronauts were given these meals during their 21-day quarantine period once they returned to Earth. And yes, Stouffer's, of course, capitalized on this whole thing with a campaign slogan, "Everyone who's been to the moon is eating Stouffer's." Yes. And these quarantine meals were largely created and prepared by Black women, especially Julie Stewart and Sarah Thompson. Stewart played a major role in coming up with the recipes for the quarantine program, including things like Salisbury stroganoff. Thompson, meanwhile, did quality control, ensuring the meals met NASA's quarantine standards.
Oh, I really want to come back to them.
Me too.
They sound super fascinating.
Yes, agreed. That whole thing, fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
But then, speaking of fascinating, I didn't know Stouffer's French red pizza was the whole thing.
Oh, it was a whole thing.
I learned it through the research. Their version of it launched in the 1970s.
Yeah. This was a major part of, like, my college. Actually, I probably ate literally any number of those when I was in college. I think that was one of the things that I considered, like, because I considered at that point Stouffer's to be, like, a little bit of a fancier frozen food brand, because it was like a little bit more expensive than like the absolute trash that I was eating most of the rest of the time.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
But I would splurge on a French bread pizza.
I love it when we're researching something and I'm like, I've literally never heard of this and everyone's bringing it up. So I know it has to be a thing that I should have heard of.
It's probably just a generational thing. I don't know. Or who knows? It could be. Y'all write in. Let us know about your French bread pizza feeling.
Please.
Oh, heck. Upon Vernon's death in 1974, his New York Times obituary announced him as the president of restaurant chain. Like, it was like, Vernon Stouffer, president of restaurant chain, has passed.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As of 1990, they had 40 hotels and resorts and 68 restaurants. But they were starting to sell them off to concentrate on frozen food.
Right. And Nestle sold the hotel portion, which I'm still wrapping my mind around, of the company in 1996. But they allowed the purchaser to continue to use the name Stouffer.
Yeah. They were bought by Renaissance Ramada for $1.5 billion.
Whoa. And then, enter Applebee's.
What?
Dun, dun, dun. You never expect it.
It's true. I never expect Applebee's.
It's true. Okay. I didn't expect it in this outline either.
Ooh,
but
right.
In 2003, Applebee's sued the parent company of Stouffer's, at the time Nestle, over the use of skillet sensations on the marketing and labeling of some of their meals. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of arguing about dates and trademarks and the dates of the trademarks.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That I actually am someone who personally would find a lot of great joy out of explaining in detail, but I figured most people probably wouldn't. But the courts ruled in favor of Applebee's, and Stouffer's was ordered to stop using the term on their products.
Oh, there you go. Wow. Skipping ahead a little bit, in the first few months of the pandemic in 2020, purchases of frozen foods were way up, like 40% up over the same period of the previous year. It cooled down a little bit, no pun intended, after that. For the whole year, sales were up just a little bit over 17% of frozen foods.
Wow.
As of 2022, sales for single-serving frozen entrees in the U.S. were pretty flat year over year, but dollar sales were up over 10%, meaning the companies like Nestle are raising prices.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. As of early 2023, they announced their intention to stop selling in Canada. So sorry, Canada.
Yeah, sorry, Canada.
Yeah. And yeah, they've been doing some real goofy marketing stunts lately. In 2020, they announced Mac on Tap. This is a tap-style mac and cheese dispenser.
Oh.
I don't know if this ever came to fruition, but like the idea was like a countertop service device containing a heating element to like keep the product warm and like a spigot that you know manipulate to release the mac and cheese, like a convenience store coffee machine but with mac and cheese in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, they also launched a lasagna-flavored Bloody Mary mix in 2022.
Yep. This was a promotional item for the holiday season that year. Free while supplies lasted. You could not buy it. It was only free.
Wow.
Yeah.
And as with all of those things, I'm sure it was gone immediately. Oh. Gosh, these promotional things. I'm just so fascinated.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sad. I'm sad the tracksuit is not available anymore.
Yeah. I would try a lasagna-flavored Bloody Mary mix.
I would try it.
I don't even know what that means. I'd be open to it.
I don't know either. But sure.
Why not?
This is our essentially our vibe.
Yeah. Cool.
Give it a go.
Oh, geez.
All right, that's not for me. All right.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah. You never know until you try, though. That's
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. Well, I believe we would love to hear from you all.
Yes.
All of your nostalgic takes. If you have controversial Stouffer's opinions, I would love to hear them.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But that is what we have to say about Stouffer's for now.
Yes. We do have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that after a quick break for a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with
Listener.
Oh. Well.
Like a microwave.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
That was pretty good. I'm proud of that one.
I was like, is that like a shark attack? Like, what's happening? Anyway, yeah, like a microwave.
Anything could be going on, honestly. Morgan wrote, I am writing in with voice to text right now as I have some rare time away from children. I am responding to the listener mail about the Australian children picking their cakes from a cookbook. Well, if you really wanted to know, there is a children's television show called Bluey. The main characters are healer dogs, and it is about the imagination and the wonder and play of children ranging from 3 years old to 7 years old. There is an episode where the younger sister, Bingo, is going to choose what her cake is, and her dad is going to make it while her older sister, Bluey, helps. In this episode, Bingo decides that she wants a yellow ducky cake, so her dad, Bandit, so her dad, Bandit, reluctantly says he will do it. The rest of the episode is Bluey arguing with her dad about cleaning up the house and the message that the cleaning up had failed and also the attempts at making the yellow duck cake had failed. I am summarizing.
Yeah, voice to text. It's a little tricky, but sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we're getting the gist.
I think so. I think so. The show is on Disney Plus. I do not recall what episode or season it's in, but I'm sure you can look it up online. I highly suggest you look at it and see the enjoyment and the excitement the little healer children have looking for their next birthday cake. I hope this voice to text message really does translate well, as I have no time to proofread. Look, I love that you took the time to do this.
Absolutely.
When you're clearly so busy with kids and just general life.
Yeah. It did give us the new word sister bed.
It did. It did. I tried to, with Lauren's help, capture the meaning, but some liberties were taken.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it came through perfectly clear for all intents and purposes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was mostly the sister bed part. I don't know. But it's also funny because for all we know, this sounds right to me, but I haven't seen it yet. So it could be very well that it's not right at all. Like, maybe healer dogs isn't accurate.
Oh, no, no. Healers, like blue healers, like yes. it's a type of dog. So I'm pretty sure that that's an accurate thing.
I thought they were like nurse dogs.
No. No.
Oh, well, I mean.
No, Australian Australian healers are like a whole like category of dogs. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I mean, but in fairness to me, I can see an animated show where there are dogs who are healers like you would have in your D&D
party. In your campaign,
like
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, good to know. Together, this is why we're a good team.
Yes. Yes.
But that sounds great. I love that. This whole picking of the cake idea.
So cool, right?
It is.
I guess there are some parallels in American culture. Like, I mean, you have like you might pick like a theme for your birthday party, and like you might like I remember like going to like Publix or whatever it was, and like helping figure out how to decorate a cake, or being like, oh, I want that one. Like, I want the Ninja Turtles. Like, whatever it is that it is.
Right.
But not for homemade cakes. Heck. Anyway, Colleen wrote, I especially loved your Limburger cheese and the coleslaw podcasts. My grandparents were Mennonite. I came from Kitchener originally, where I hope I'm saying that right, where there is a German Mennonite culture. So Limburger cheese. Also cooked cheese. Kokkase? Is that how you say that? Sure. Which I've only seen around there. It's a translucent spreading cheese, usually with caraway seeds. Back to Limburger. I could never bring myself to eat it, but it was usually eaten in a sandwich with a slice of onion on it. As a kid, I would chase my friends with the pack of cheese, threatening to make them eat it or to touch them with it. but never did. I was kind of a jerk as a child. coleslaw here is usually cabbage-based with a mayo-based dressing. Mayo, vinegar, salt, pepper, bit of horseradish for a kick, and served as a small side salad. This one I made was a green cabbage, carrots, green peppers, celery, sweet purple onion, and some sunflower seeds. I used a sweet oil and vinegar dressing, which was heated to a boil and poured over the salad and chilled. The dressing was from Big Bob Gibson's barbecue recipe book. I added more vinegar as I found it mild. I was listening to the coleslaw podcast when I made it.
Hey. I love it. I love it. I know I've said before, but this whole like chasing people away with Limburger.
Yeah. Like,
reminds me of my dad.
Right? Like threats of Limburger. Yes. I adore those. Also, that cheese with the caraway seeds. That sounds so good. Right?
Yes. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I'm loving all of the coleslaw variations everyone is sending in. It's really great. Uh-huh. Especially as we're entering summer season. I will tell you, I mentioned in a recent podcast, but I've got my hands on some Taylor ham.
Right.
So this is, I'm cooking it within the week.
Okay.
So if anyone has, I have some recipes saved up, but if anybody's got some final tips.
Now's the time.
This is it. This is it. Who knows? I'll never do it again.
You might never find it again. Who knows?
It's true. It's true because I've realized the story. Shop at, because I've been on a big paneer kick and they stopped carrying paneer. So you can never tell.
Right?
Help me out, listeners. You're my only hope. and thanks to both of these listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saberpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.